So this is a workshop on scripture memory, and what I like to basically is to go through some how-tos and a little bit of why scripture memory is important. But first of all, let me just get what you think. Why, I imagine if you're in here, or I'll assume if you're in here, for better or worse, you know, that you have some reasons for wanting to memorize scripture. And why don't you shoot out to me just what are the things, why would you want to? Why would you think anybody should? Why is scripture memory important? Your ideas. Here's a workshop to make you work. Okay.
First, Jesus said we're supposed to in Matthew 29, and it'll help you in witnessing, because like the devil, Jesus knew the devil was Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no serious, I don't think we should go wrong with the online description.
Okay. Any other reasons?
Those were not genuine. Well, to memorize scripture and keep the sins. And then another place says to memorize scripture. It's Job 23:21, which is about finding peace with God. You should be on scripture. Know His will. Be in His will.
Okay. Any other reasons that strike you as being, yes?
I like it just because I memorize promises. You know it's somewhere, but you don't know exactly where it is. It's nice to have them verbatim, exactly what the word says. It's really good to me, some amazing things it says I would never seen.
Yes?
You memorize scripture, you say the word, and you hide it in your heart, and that way you can know what God is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think anything that was said is wrong. By the way, I don't have my name tag on. I'm Dick Fisher, and I work at the office with NAVS. And I've been at Kent State for the last 4 years, working as representative. And when I went home, everyone went home for about the same reason, I guess. But let me just turn your Bible to Romans 8:29. Everyone have a Bible? Most of you probably know Romans 8:28. God works for good with those who love Him, you know. But anybody know Romans 8:29? Just glance at it. Then I'd like for us to consider a little bit, what is the purpose of the Christian's life? What does God want for our life to be? Why or what's it all about? What's our goal? What's our objective, our purpose? Okay. Any other thoughts? Anything from that verse or any ideas?
Formed in the image of Christ.
Okay. And I think, the fellowship with God is in a sense almost a means to that. I think it's sort of a fine line there, I think, as far as what's more important. But that God wants to conform us to the image of Christ, that we would be like Him. And as I was thinking about this, just some thoughts on the matter is that naturally we're not like that. I mean, like when you're a baby. See, my wife right now is just babysitting. We don't have our baby yet. It's coming in September. But right now we're in another one. And you get to see they're pretty much all alike. You don't have to teach a baby to steal. You know, they do that or to get what they want for themselves, just to grab their way. That's pretty natural. That self-centeredness about them, you know, from almost from their first thoughts, it's gimme, you know, and that's sort of the way they grow up and the way it works together. And that's just like the same way as far as their Christian life. That, well, I have to admit, this is a little homespun, but see that our Christian life, when we meet the Lord, our life is pretty well like that. It's I at the center. And even if we're altruistic about it, we want to give to other people. Often, I was just reading Keith Miller's book, A Taste of New Wine, that one chapter where he talks about even often joining a service group, we do it for so that people will think we're good or that people will look up to us. And we might not consciously be like that, but if people wouldn't look up to us on account of it, I'm not sure there'd be as much little service groups going on. But so when we meet the Lord, we have this I. But there's one issue where God sort of centers and where we get convicted about our life as far as what it's all about. And in my case, it was the issue of whether I was going to be a party goer drinker with the boys, be part of the in-group in, up in Wisconsin. With the rich young ruler, it was whether his money would be Lord or whether Christ would be Lord. As you're familiar. See, and here's where Christ comes in. And that's sort of the issue. When we become a Christian, just that little bit of us, the issue where God sort of centralizes it is what gets converted in that sense. But we've made the decision then that Christ is Lord, and that as things come up, He's worthy of our allegiance and He's worthy of our obedience. And sort of slowly, that little thing, and then God brings another point of view. It might be, the issue of whether I ought to, have this big snazzy car or whether I ought to give to a missionary. And as the Lord just works and He takes care of that. And here it's whether possibly I ought to learn how to witness. It might be a matter of the quiet time. As God just sort of teaches us things, our growth then is sort of a step-by-step, just turning over our life to Him. And although we start with the big I, God's purpose for us is that we would just be conformed to the image of Christ, that we would just be like that all the way through and all the way around. By the way, if you have anything that you don't understand or agree with, or feel free to question or clarify. Sometimes that don't come through real clear, so that's why I draw pictures. So naturally we're not like that. And even when we become a Christian, we're not like that. We're still quite self-centered. And then when, on top of that, we get the pressure of the world. All around us, there's the pressure of conformity, the pressure of just giving in. Why don't we turn to Romans 12, 1, or 2 particularly, is the one I'm thinking of. Does anyone have a Phillips translation? For some reason it comes through good in the Phillips translation, a little better. But you're familiar with the verse, aren't you? Somebody want to read it just in your own translation? 12:2.
I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Okay. The Phillips translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. And the more I've thought about it, the more I worked with guys at Kent State, the more true that seemed to be, that the world will squeeze you into its mold. It'll make you just like itself if it can. The issue of co-ed dorms and 24-hour visitation came up, and maybe that's come up on your campus as well, but at Kent it was sort of an accepted thing, or at least they were putting it to a vote of the students. And I know, I'm not sure what you think about that, but I know pretty well what I think. I'm not sure the reasons for that are quite what they say in their arguments for the better studying and all these things, the convenience and we're not kids anymore, which I think is an unproven point, things like that. Whereas it seems to me that when a guy and a girl get in the room and the door goes shut in their bedroom, question?
No.
When the door goes shut, it's not always that it's so exciting. It's not always such a pure relationship takes place. I wasn't born yesterday. See, and I think there's a matter here also that Christians, say living, we had a guy living in the middle of a dorm, and he was the only one who thought that was, who felt, I ought to stand and oppose this. But as the guys talked about it, and as they counted up who was standing on each side, it turned out that he was a very small minority, one against 50. And so slowly he just said, he rationalized it in his own mind. He says, this isn't so bad. I just can leave and things like that. Boy, you just think the world doesn't squeeze you. No one pressured him, no one threatened him. But pretty soon he wasn't saying anything, and pretty soon he was agreeing with the majority. The world, it just changes the way we think. We went, the gang also during that time went to a movie to see Dr. Zhivago. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the movie, but in it there's this, the problem of, Zhivago's mistress, who sort of gets in between him and his wife. As the gang had talked about, we went away and had pizza after the flick, and it was really interesting because almost everybody there felt sorry for the mistress. These were Christian people. These were Christian guys who loved the Lord. But as they slowly, they say, well, man, she really got a raw deal. The fat she did, she ran right into a marriage. You know, but the world just, it squeezes us. It gets us to think like it thinks. And the Christian who wants to live for Christ has this continual battle of, you know, of whether it ought to stand up and be counted for what it knows God has said, or whether it ought to just give in and sort of not make waves, you know, just sort of fit in, do what's going on. So that's our situation. We begin selfish and then we're continually pressured. And the question I think that a Christian has to face is, well, how do you just keep from becoming a moral reprobate? How do you keep from just going under? Question.
Moral reprobate?
Or, let's see if I can find it. Just a guy who's so totally as sinful and as full of it as the world. Just totally without the moral standards from God. I'm not sure if that's a dictionary type definition, but that's what I mean by it. I think the answer to that is in the last part of Romans 12 too. But let God remold your mind from within. And I think that's the basis. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because you gave reasons for memorizing Scripture, but I think in my life, the primary reason or my primary motivation is that God would develop in me the mind of Christ. That I would learn how to think like He thinks. And that I would just develop His thinking. That when I see the guy on the campus, you know, who's blowing his mind with acid, that I would share Christ's thinking about him. That I would love him like Christ loves him. That I would hate his sin like Christ hates his sin. That I'd just be totally involved with him. I'd have compassion on his problem. And I'd have the sense that Christ had of what should I do about it? What's my step? What should I say? How should I react? And that's why God gave us the Word, I believe, is to just fill our mind with the thinking of Christ, that we would share His thoughts. And there are a number of scriptures on that subject. I had a Bible on it. Recently I got a letter from one of the guys at Kent State who's growing and doing real well. And he's a fellow who had become a Christian there. And he wrote to me, he says, well, the more I look at the fellows around me, the more I see that they're just pulling their standards and their values out of the air. There doesn't seem to be any basis for it. They can't give you a reason. They just want to believe it. They say, this is good, this is bad, with no basis. He said, well, it just appears to me that I'm just being forced to a place where I have to say, like Micah said, in Micah 7:7, he says, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will get mine from God. I'll just get that kind of guidance from God in His Word. And I think that's why the Lord gave us commands. Like, why don't you turn to Deuteronomy 6 through 9. A number of fellows have come up to me. When you work with the navigators, you get a scripture memory reputation, you know, whatever you think, just because they memorize verses that... The guys that come up to me and say, well, I've never seen anything in the Bible that says you should memorize Scripture. And I think you could make a point that way. You know, there's nothing that says, well, put a verse on a card and memorize it. But this verse, when I like to see somebody apply this the way Moses and the Lord is intending it without memorizing it. It says, in these words, which I command you this day, first of all, they shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What attitude is Moses asking of them? What is he? How should they relate to the word from that verse?
Every waking moment, practically.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you lay down, when you wake up, when you walk, when you sit in your house, in other words, every place you are, the thing that ought to fill your mind, the thing that ought to be constantly in front of you, is the Word of God. And boy, I'm not like that normally. There are 1,000 things that distract me. I'm just not naturally. I can hold my Bible. I can even have a quiet time in the morning. But if there's something that I can't really just stick in my consciousness, like scripture memory. See, I just can't go walking every place with the Bible up in front of me. But I can memorize verses. I can put things on a card and carry it and just hide it in my heart. The other one is Colossians 3:16, where it says, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. But let the word of Christ just dwell in you richly. And I think somebody mentioned it earlier, Psalm 119:9-11. You know, how can a young man keep his way pure? Well, by guarding it according to thy word. And he says, David just says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So I think there's evidence in the scriptures for scripture memory. I think that it almost calls us to do that. And I'd say before a person can say that he doesn't need to memorize scripture, I think he needs to have reasons that overrule these verses. And then, if he can keep the word in front of him without memorizing it, that's fine. I think other things that we've mentioned, that scripture memory, it delivers us from sin. It's got that ability to fight sin in our lives. Moment by moment guidance, meditation, witnessing. You know, those are all sort of side benefits. But in my life anyway, with the pressures that I'm under, I think that the compelling reasons just to get me to think like Christ thinks. Give me the mind of Christ. And I can see in my life just how I've come. Now, see, you might think, well, you know, that's the mind of Christ. You're sort of blaspheming. But as far as I'm concerned, God has really helped me just in changing my thought life. Well, let's go into more of the how-tos of scripture memory. That's what we really came here for, sort of the workshop angle. But first of all, we need to consider one of the obstacles. And I think it'll be the main obstacle. By the way, how many have memorized, say, more than 25 verses of scripture? Would you just raise your hand? Anyone here? Okay. And the rest of you probably got a couple or maybe a number of them. But I think you will find as you grow and as you go along in the Christian life that the biggest obstacle to scripture memory is you. Is your lazy self. I can say from my experience, the biggest obstacle to my memorizing scripture is my desire that it's so much easier to read a newspaper and so much easier to lay and even watch TV than to do it. It takes work, you know, and if you're starting something like that, it'd be worthwhile just to face that fact. It's not that, you know, this isn't going to come like cloud over you, and all at once it becomes an easy thing to do. So that'll be a battle you'll have continually. And you'll have to determine, well, is it worth the work that I put into it? I would say in my life, unqualified yes. I'm lazy, but I can see how it's helped me. You know, and so consequently I'm motivated to do it. But you'll have to decide that for yourself, because, you know, you'll forget my name in 5 days, you know, not even remember who I am. So you'll have to have reasons that are yours and that you believe and that you can hold before the Lord and before your own schedule. So first of all, that's the obstacles, basically. There'll be other things, but they'll generally, I think that'll be your main one. Just overcoming your natural tendency not to. But there's some prerequisites. And what I like to try to help you to do is just to have a consistent program of scripture memory. That when you leave here, that you start on something that you start and you're going to stick with until you're satisfied you have memorized as much of the Bible as you really will need. You know, that kind of a program. It might sound a little ambitious, but I think it's worth it. And there's some prerequisites. The first one, I think, is, well, let me just say it's from Ezra 7:10, it's a reference. And here it says, Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach those statutes and ordinances in Israel. And what you need to do is to set your heart, to get along with the Lord and just say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Well, I need your help. Ezra 7:10 is the reference. And that's just that determination to do it. David used to say, well, I will. And in some of these Psalms that he comes through, he says, I will not set before me anything that is base. I will worship toward the holy temple. He just determined, he was a guy who was going to, he just determined it in his heart and he pushed ahead. And I think we need that too. That's the setting your heart. Attitude of a finisher. And I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to let myself get in the way. Second prerequisite, be to set a goal. And by this I'm talking about something like weekly intake. How much do you want to do a week? Do you want to say, I thank you, and this needs to be realistic. It needs to be something you can do. You're not going to memorize a chapter a week. You know, so even if you can memorize it 1 week, and you could, yet you won't keep up that pace. So do something that you're going to stick with. And I think a realistic goal is about 2 verses a week. That's what's recommended in the topical memory system. Most of you could probably do, say, 4 or 5 a week really without much trouble. But I'm not sure. See, I think it's more important to develop the habit of a continual program than to go in spurts and jerks, because you'll wind up memorizing more verses that way. It's easier to stick with it. That makes sense? Any questions on that? The third prerequisite, I say, is come up with a workable plan. And I think one good one is just the plan which I'll term IRA. This is the impression. In other words, and this, by this I'd say one thing is to write it, write the verse on a card. Write it out in something that you clearly get it the first time. There's probably nothing more frustrating in scripture memory than to start with it and fuzzy in your mind, and then you continue to wind up reviewing a verse and changing a few words as you go along because it really wasn't clear. The R stands for repetition. Repetition. And that's just to review it. And here's where just daily practice will deepen the impression that you originally got of the verse, is doing it continually and working it over in your mind daily. And A is association. Somebody mentioned it earlier that one of the things that's really valuable in scripture memory is just getting it where you can identify where it is. And by this I'm thinking of associate the reference with the verse. That you know you've got a good verse. And probably you've been in a situation where you know a fellow has said something to you and you know there's a scripture verse that just answers his question and just handles his problem. And yet all you know is that it's someplace in here. You know, you don't know where it is. You can't turn to it. And you can try to quote it, but you have no way to make sure that you can't say, well, this is in the Bible. As far as he knows, you're pulling it out of your head. And here's where the value of association comes in, just of, say, well, man, you know, the fact that all our sin is, you can find that in Romans 3:23 and in Romans 3:12, Isaiah 59:1 and 2. So it's really important to get that reference, to associate it, and just to memorize it along with the verse. And we'll get into some of the how-tos of that later on. Another thing that you might want to associate, though, is the topic. So that if you pick it with a topic, maybe the thing that that the verse really says to you, or some meaning that it has, or some way that you'll use it. For instance, the fact that all have sinned. And that's the kind of thing that a verse like Romans 3:23 would be valuable for. And so when you think of all of sin, you sort of run through your mind the verses that you've memorized along that topic when you're sharing with somebody else. Okay. Then let's get into any questions, first of all, on the prerequisites. Yes?
Under impressions,
What do you think if we sometimes we reword that verse and memorize it the way we understand it? You know, instead of taking this straight words from the Bible, we kind of rewrite it.
Well, I would. You asked for my opinion, so I'll give it to you. I personally think it will defeat your purpose of scripture memory. See, because then it's no longer a scripture. Then it's no longer a Bible verse you've memorized. It's sort of your interpretation. And a fellow who would challenge you on the matter would, he'd come up with it and say, well, you know, you've changed that to fit the way you think. And I know in my own witnessing that that's a problem. He says, well, you're just interpreting it the way you want to. Well, if I'm telling him what the Bible says, then I'm just repeating what it said. Now, what I do on this subject is there are a lot of verses, particularly if you use a version that's not readily understandable. The King James is, I think it's hard to use in witnessing to a skeptical mind because he'll get hung up on the word order and some of those things. So what I do is I'll change it and I'll paraphrase it after. I say, well, now does it mean this to you? Or this is how I see that verse. Or I might memorize in a translation that seems to me to capture the essence of it better, if it's a particular one. I think there's a real benefit. I don't mean to tromp down on your suggestion, but I think there's a real benefit in getting them word perfect, so that then you have confidence and then you know that that's what the Bible says. Because otherwise, you're adding yourself to it and your flavor to it. Okay. Then memorizing the verse itself. There's some things that I think would really be helpful, or some just practical things, and that's what we'd like to concentrate on today, some of the practical elements. And first of all, you'll need a time here free of distractions. And for most people, well, I think what's important is that you get a time when you can give your attention to it. It's really difficult to think of a verse when you're, or to try to memorize a verse when you're under pressure for an exam, or if you're about to go on a date, or there's something that seems like it's just throwing your mind off of what you really want to be concentrating on. So here it's a matter of just getting something. Now, a lot of people, I personally find early morning to be a great time for me. It's a time that's natural. It's a time we've takes me about 2 hours after I wake up before I come to. So there's a lot of things that I can, nothing else in my mind. I'm not worried about my checkbook. I'm not worried about the lady who just backed into my car. And there are a lot of things that I tend to get in my mind later on, or some responsibilities I have at work. But I can really just concentrate on those things. So that's one. Or just waste the time. If you're a student, most of you, I imagine, are students, aren't you? See, a lot of times at Kent State, the gang, they'd go walking back and forth to classes, and it took about 20 minutes to get from one to the other. And they could use that, and they could pick up, if they weren't walking with someone, or if it was just sort of out of their way, they could get a verse in that time. And you got to walk it anyway, you know, so you might as well make it count. Okay, first thing then is the time. Secondly, is to read the context of the verse. Before you memorize it, or while you memorize it, become familiar with what it's talking about and why. Why that verse is in there. And I don't think you need to do a big study on it, but just so that you're not pulling it and using it in a way that it's not meant to be used when you think of it. Because almost every heresy and almost every cult that's arisen has been someone who's pulled out a verse out of Scripture and then sort of given it their shade of meaning, and they haven't considered the basis and the ground in which it was laid. So just become familiar with the context. The third thing is, when you memorize it, include the reference as part of the verse. And one method, include the reference as part of the verse. And we're going to be memorizing verse in this workshop, so and using these, so it probably you can think through of how valuable this is. But one of the things that has really, that really seems to help, and it's this principle of association, is to just to memorize the reference along with it. Like Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, that you put it fore and aft, you sort of set the verse around the reference. Or you put the references around the verse, actually. So that you connect it in your thinking all the time with that reference. Because I think you'll find if you don't have the references with you in your memory, you'll soon tire of memorizing these verses that you can't find and never check up on again. So it's worthwhile. Okay, then break the verse into its natural divisions when you memorize it. And here would be, what we mean here is that as you memorize the verse itself, just put it in rememberable chunks that you can connect it with. For instance, let's take the verse Matthew 4:4. It's a verse you're familiar with. Somebody had quoted it before. It's Jesus when he's out being tempted. And then one thing you do is, first of all, you connect the reference with the first part of the verse as you memorize it. And then you go through piece by piece. And the point before was to include the reference as part of the verse. And here's the matter then. It says, Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, Matthew 4:4. Then you work your way on through. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written. Matthew 4:4. And Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Matthew 4:4. By that way, you're just sinking and indelibly printing that reference in your mind as you memorize the verse. And you're breaking it into bite-sized chunks that you can handle. And sort of slowly work your way through the verse. Does that make sense? Did I understand what I'm talking about? It's just breaking it up into natural divisions. It's just continuing on then until the whole verse is memorized. The fifth point is read the whole verse aloud. And maybe you do this while you're memorizing it. It might be helpful to do it before you go through it. But here, sort of get the flow of it. This will help you figure out where the natural divisions are. But if you read it through aloud, it's part of that impression step, because it seems like when you remember yourself saying things, if you say them aloud, then they sort of click in your mind and you know that's how it went. And I personally like to memorize aloud. I find it helps me, or at least to whisper it, to enunciate it, because it seems like it comes, rings truer. Okay, sixth, write the verse out after you've memorized it. And write it out by memory. And something just as good as this, but it often takes another person, is to say it, is to quote it aloud to another person. And it has the same effect. But it's sort of, that way you know you've done it. You've convinced yourself, well, I'm through with the verse, so that you don't have to keep memorizing something if you already know it. But then it's a matter, and it's the seventh point, of review it immediately and review it after. Personally, I find this is often the difference whether a person continues or stops scripture memory, is how willing he is to review and to keep him up to date. Because you can know the verse perfectly, and you might know it perfectly for a week. But unless you continually bring it through your mind, unless you continually strengthen your memory on the matter, eventually you'll lose it, and it'll be as good as lost for you. So I think personally, I feel that you ought to review it for at least 3 weeks and do it every day for 3 weeks. By that time, you'll have it. Then you can set it aside, and that verse will be part of your life. It'll be part of your bloodstream. And you can call it, anyone gives you the reference, you can call the verse without any hesitation. Yes, after the 3 weeks. Is that what you meant? That's my plan. Now, I think you'll need to tailor that a little bit to your memory and how much you need. But I think after you've done it once a day for 21 days, it's pretty well yours. And once a month will keep it pretty fresh as far as you're thinking. Any questions? So what we'd like to do... Does anyone, you know, I meant to bring some blank cards along, but I didn't bring any. Does anyone have any blank cards? Any of the memory cards? Would you have a, I'll reimburse you if you've got a couple.
I got four.
If you could just share them with some of the other people, what we're going to do, so he's got a couple too. We're going to memorize a verse together. We're each going to memorize one that we want, so it should be an individual type project. So I'm going to write six verses or so on the board, and if today, right now in this group, pick one that you haven't yet memorized. Yeah. These are verses that are in the Navigator's Topic of Memory System. Probably a number you know that one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Matthew 28. Numbers 23:19. Lamentations 3:22-23. Proverbs 3:9-10. And Galatians 6:9-10. Okay, what I'd like you to do during this time would be to pick one of those verses that you haven't memorized yet and to go through the steps that we outlined. Now, as far as some things like saying it aloud, you know, be considerate of the people around you. You'll follow them up for good. That wind up with happier verse. But go through the whole process, taking that verse and memorizing it with the reference, and after you've done writing it out. And I would suggest you, as far as the writing it out, there's a question in the last one, whether you do that before or after, as far as on the blank card. And what I'm talking about is write it out ahead of time on the blank card so that you write it out word perfect according to the Bible. And by the way, use the Bible that you normally use. If that's the one, it'll tend to frustrate you otherwise. Yes? It's a revised standard. Well, let's go into a couple just practical helps, some things that I think will help you as you continue. And the first one I'd like just to talk about for a second is the new TMS. Now, are any of you in that already? New Topic of Memory System? Well, it's a course that the Navigators put out. It costs $5, but it's 60 verses, and along with some guidebooks and some topics on how to do it. Now, you could say, well, you can write those 60 verses out just as well as buy them for $5, and that's true. But I've noticed from my experience in working with guys that your likelihood of doing it is considerably greater after you put $5 into it. And you might think that's sort of a base motivation to do it. But matter of fact, recognizing what we're like, I think some things, like a base motivation, you know, is better than no motivation at all. And I think, as a matter of fact, it will provide very valuable suggestions. It'll help you with things, how to keep it up and how to, a system of review and so on. And the TMS is put out in both the Revised Standard and the King James. So, matter of fact, on each side of the card is one version, so you could do whatever version you like of those two. That's the only two, I'm afraid. But so I'd recommend, from my experience on the matter, I would just say that it's really, once a guy starts that, I'm more convinced he's going to go on in scripture memory than otherwise. And if you're interested in going on and you feel that you might need help and motivation, I recommend it. A couple other things, just some of them we brushed on before. One is, as far as your memory and review program, the earlier you do it in the day, the better. There's something very discouraging, I think, about going to bed and remembering that you haven't done your review for the day. And some people will get up and do it. Most people will, you know, they'll think about something else and go to sleep, you know. But I think even the guy who gets up, he's doing it kicking and screaming. And there's very little of joy is in it because he knows he'd rather be in bed. That's if you Baptists are like us navigators, you'd rather be in bed. You know, that's basic to the breed. So I make the vow personally of doing it early in the day and as early as possible. But I sort of set myself a standard. If I do it before noon, then it's just as easy for me to program it in early as late, and it's just a matter of when I do it. And I find it sort of gives me I get the benefit of the meditation throughout the day as well as the not the drudgery of having to do it sort of as a thing that I have to do before I go to bed. So another thing is a buddy system. And this will depend on who you are and what you need. But often this is a big help. If you and another person just agree to check each other out daily, you have your new verses by a certain day, and you work on each other to keep each other sharp. I think as far as the morale thing, and just a continual, just a blessing to both of you if you do it. I'd suggest that. Another is set a regular checkup time. And this might be on Saturday night, but say you commit yourself to, I only memorize two verses a week, or three, or four. Well, see, but if it's just, you do one week, then you think, well, there's no real definite time, so, I'll do three next week, or something like that. But far better is setting, say, Saturday noon or Saturday night, I'll have my verses for the week done. And that gives you something to shoot for, sort of a regular, to peg your progress, whether you have it or not. So maybe another is topics. The TMS is the topic of memory system, has topics on the verse, but I'd say even if you don't do that, if you just write out your own, put the topic on it that you want to recall the verse by. See, like most verses, there'll be two or three topics contained in the verse, or at least a lot of them. And some are important to you, some aren't. You know, if you want to know, depends on your bent and depends on why you're memorizing the verse. But I'll put on the topic that seems to me to be the most likely, the one I'll use and the one I'll try to call it back on. So, and then I think the biggest thing to your success as far as scripture memory will be whether you use it or not. The earlier you use it after you memorize it. For instance, you memorize a verse on the Word. Well, either to pray it or to share it with a friend or to use it in witnessing or something. But by using it, you sort of call it back and you see how valuable the verse was to you. And actually, that's the reason why you're memorizing it in the first place, is just to get verses available for your use. And on the question of versions, here I'd again say that use the version that you normally use, the one that you feel most at home in. And I suggest that you stick by one rather than to use every one of the 26 you might have in your library. Just because it'll tend to, say if you read it in one version, and it's similar to a version you memorize, and it'll break down your remembering of the exact phrases and exact words. So I read the RSV, so I memorize the RSV. That's a big reason. It helps me constantly when I read it. It sort of refreshes my memory as far as what I memorized, rather than breaks it down. Are there any questions or anything that you have any about doing it or reviewing or anything? Yes.
I have a problem with keeping all of these on my fingertips. Like when I reach a problem, I need a verse to help somebody with a problem. They just don't pop into my mind. Is that because I don't know them well enough?
Do you memorize by topics? Do you put a topic on it?
Usually, but that's not the main emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing that when I first hit this problem, and it helps some. Mm-hmm. Like I'll either use the first two words, if it's a good main thought, then I use the first two words as the topic. Or I'll use the main thought. And it helps some, but still, like 20 verses, I don't have them.
Yeah. Well, I think it might be because you don't know them well enough, but it might be also because you haven't thought through of where you use them. For instance, I know in my memory, I'll come into a verse, and when I see it, I'll know that that'll answer somebody's question that I've had asked before. For instance, say it's on the deity of Christ, somebody says, well, the Bible never says that Jesus is the Son of God, or Jesus never said he was the Son of God. And I pull a verse back, like say John 5:18 or something like that that I'd memorized, and I thought when I memorized it, well, that's where I use it, and that helps me if I memorize them with that in mind. I memorize them with my use in mind, so then it sort of prepares me in advance for the questions that I stumble on the last time around. But I think it might be that as you learn them better and as you work at where they'd fit, and where they would. Verses you've already memorized. Where would I call these up? What is this answer? And who would this help? That kind of a approach. And I don't know. See, I think a number of us that, by our temperament or by the way the things we think about, some things work for one and doesn't work for another. So, just experiment around if that doesn't seem to be the answer.
How many does the TMS? How many are you supposed to learn a week through that system?
Well, they set it up for 2 a week. And that's really easy as far as... it's not hard to learn 2 verses a week if you work at it. Matter of fact, when I was going through, I don't find memory easy, but I really enjoyed it. And so I sort of felt like I should push myself a little harder because, after you review 2 verses a week for 6 days, you feel like you have room for more in your head, I did. So, and I think that'll probably be true. I think scripture memory, you'll find, isn't as difficult as you probably, if you haven't done much of it, you might have an exaggerated picture of its hardness. But I used to, when we'd lead a guy to Christ at Kent State, one of the things we did is we'd help him with assurance by taking the verse 1 John 5:11 and 12. Probably most of you know. And I asked him, well, how long do you think it would take you to memorize that? He said, well, maybe I could get it done within a week. I'm not sure. Or an hour at the least. I said, well, I bet you could do it in 2 minutes without any trouble at all. So then we'd take the next 2 minutes, he'd memorize it, do a couple things. It would tell him how easy it was to memorize a verse if he tried to. Just set the time aside to do it. And he gave him a verse and assurance that he had sort of locked in his heart already, or at least locked in his head. So I think, most of us can memorize a verse without any trouble in 2 minutes if we're concentrating on it. And that's, that's 2 verses together, so it's not...